Welcome to Thoughtfully Us, the space where three therapists of color sit down to talk about mental health, real life, and the human side of healing. We're colleagues, friends, and licensed therapists. And so in this podcast, we're pulling back the curtain on not just therapy, but on being people of color in this field and on the parts of life we don't always get to process in the therapy room. So whether you're in therapy, thinking about it, or just trying to make sense of your own healing journey, we're so glad you're here. A quick disclaimer is that this podcast is for informational purposes only. It is not a substitute for therapy, medical advice, or diagnosis. Listening to this podcast does not create a therapeutic relationship with any of the hosts. Tease up for Thoughtfully Us.
Hey!
Hello!
Hey, guys.
I said we should write a song, like, hey!
Like, we need, like, an intro. And we have an intro song.
Like a second intro.
Yeah. Like a chant. Or a cheer.
First of all, that just reminded me of the amount of texts I get. Well, a lot of people say this, but nobody says it as much as my sister-in-law. I'm throwing my tea up on the way home, and that means she's listening to the episode. And I just love this, that where people are catching on to throwing the tea up.
So sweet.
And I can tell when she uses like dictate or something, because it will say like throwing the T-E-A up.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant, I was like, tea?
No. She's like, I can't wait to throw my tea up on the way home. I'm like, yes!
Wow, the influence. I love it.
So we're throwing our teas up today
mm-hmm.
to talk about, first and foremost, the most important tea. T-S-I-P.
Which means the summer I turn pretty.
Dramatic pause for
effect. Not online. So yes, first off, these are book series that were turned into a show on Amazon Prime Video. And we're getting a movie, which is so exciting. And it'd be weird to see it on the big screen instead of being on my couch. But I guess I could still watch it on my couch.
For sure.
As a movie, if it comes out on Amazon.
For sure. Especially because, like, I'm not a rewatcher. I really, it's a one and done for me. But I have rewatched that last episode many times now.
Which so means- we will be. Just kidding. That's too
bad. We keep this podcast PG. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, PG.
I just need to go to Paris now.
Yes.
I don't need to go to Paris. I need to go to wherever Conrad Fisher is. Could be in a dumpster. I'll be there.
What?
I will be there. You will find me there.
We will find.
What a great finale.
I was convinced that she was going to end it with Conrad like going to Fisher to Paris, and we would have to like assume from there what happened. Mm-hmm. Or like we see him in Paris and then like that's the end of the, like we see him get to Paris and then we just don't know what happens from there. So the fact that we got the full,
you know,
everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
crazy. Natalie literally would ask, did they get together? Or is Conrad in the episode?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she would watch. Or she wouldn't watch.
And then when there was, like, the second to last episode was, like, a little, we were, like, getting too close to the end. I was like, I'm not going to waste my time. Like, TV is rare for me.
Mm-hmm.
A baby. And I was like, I'm not wasting my time with this if they're not going to end up together.
And what is the point?
Patience. Good things take time.
And our friend Caitlin would be like,
mm-hmm.
Watch it. And I was like, no, not until I know this for sure.
We need a confirmation.
So you best believe when Maya watched it, I was blowing up her phone. Are they together? Did they get together? What's happening?
Yeah, and then they ruined it for me. Hold up. They ruined it for me because I couldn't watch till later in the day. But I figured they would.
We put it in invisible text.
Yeah, we did. We said, don't read these.
Well, I missed that part.
So would we say that overall we're content with the ending?
Yeah. Yes. Did I think it was a little rushed?
Yes. There's so many storylines.
I know.
Like, Lucinda, what's going on with her? Belly's parents? Like, Ooh. Are they getting back together? Like, what's happening there? Like, there's so much.
Chocolate, raspberry, cake, whatever that he made.
Oh, he made for himself. I Maya. I was like,
what? Maya. I was like, Maya for himself the whole time.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yeah. How did he become a chef at the end?
I know. It was so random. I'm like, oh, they should have showed him like cooking throughout the show.
Whatever. I say it was 10 out of 10, no notes. But maybe less Jeremiah.
I'm also fully convinced the movie's coming out this Christmas. And
I know.
And
December 25th. I saw it too. I saw it. Do I have a source? No. But I saw it.
I saw it
with my eyes. 2025.
2025. We'll
see. We also, like, I think kind of weigh the idea of bringing up, like, current events to a point, but I think our topic today kind of brushes on certain things too. So we'll just kind of see how our conversation goes. And listeners, if there's any more to this topic that you want to add or have questions about, definitely let us know.
Here we go.
Good segue.
But we thought about the topic, the invisible labor that we all do, and especially as therapists of color. I think in our current climate, we do a lot of invisible labor, whether that's educating or managing emotions in a scary, scary time. And so when certain things happen in our world, oftentimes therapy is a place where people are talking about this. And we welcome that and we love that.
Yeah.
And sometimes people are sharing and talking about beliefs that are inherently hurtful to ourselves and identities that we hold that are harmful. And like, what do we do when that happens? Because as we've always said, we are therapists, yes, but we are humans first.
Yes.
So we're tired.
Can't see the bags under our eyes. We are tired.
Yes. These are trying times. Truly. Really? I will say there was parts of the year, or maybe last year, where I felt like I didn't have too much of the outside world reflected in sessions. And I think that was because the focus is disordered eating. And I don't know, it just wasn't the same. Like, I remember talking to you guys, I think, or therapists, or my own therapist, about certain current events and how they were getting a lot of, like, you know, that anxiety, that sadness, frustration, you know, or happiness too, you know. And so I think I was marked safe from it for a while. But I would say in the last like month or two, I feel like there has been more of a transition of like those things coming in. Of, like, this is causing me really intense stress, anxiety, worry, again, some of these big emotions that of course make everything else harder. So I feel like I have now, more often than not, had to kind of keep up myself of like what's going on for various groups of people, and how different, you know, ideas, conversations, laws impact people as well.
Yeah. We have to be informed. And we live so close to the White House, to DC, where a lot of things have been taking place. So I'm like, we kind of have to know what's going on because it impacts most of our clients, either if they work there or a family there, or, you know, it spreads throughout. So
it's also like a part of our code of ethics as social workers, and
it is
that a lot of, there's a lot of debate in the therapy world about like therapy is not political, it's not a political space. And that is not really the case for social workers. Therapy is, you know, it is a political situation, and the policies that are occurring do have firsthand impacts on us as therapists and our clients. I specialize in trauma, and so a lot of the policies and changes that have been occurring over the years are direct hits to things that our populations I'm working with go through, along with like traumas of like racial trauma. And it has been tough out here. We are working in overtime, and I think it goes back to what we have talked about in the past about like collective trauma and how we as therapists have to navigate supporting clients as they're sharing like thoughts and feelings about, very valid thoughts and feelings about our world, while we're trying to navigate our own thoughts and feelings about the world.
I feel like it's good that we mention it as the invisible labor, because it is like, but I do think it might be a little bit more visible each day too. But for a while, again, in different like work environments, I think it was easy for me to like leave work at work. But I feel like more recently, it is harder. Because I do, you know, we are sympathetic. We are, you know, trying to just understand, you know, and there's populations of clients I work with where I won't understand. You know, I'm just trying to support and ask them, you know, what they need. And so it is hard sometimes to just feel like I'll see something maybe online in the news headlines, and I'll, you know, kind of think of certain populations and like, ugh, you know, here we go, that kind of thing. So it is hard, I feel like, to navigate it. I would say maybe using support, so like my co-host and our other friends or family, you know, just to support and have like a sounding board as well.
And they're like our own therapists, our other good supports. But also, I think, did we talk about this last episode? I think taking a break sometimes and shutting off the news or distancing yourself from it, like not avoiding it, because we don't want to avoid, but just knowing when you're limit or you're at your capacity, the news you can take in and what you're viewing and seeing, especially with phones. Because I saw a great quote, and maybe I'll post it on our Instagram if I find it again, but something like, humans were never meant to absorb this much information like 24/7, and it has done and will continue to do a lot of things to just our nervous system that will be so impactful and scary. So, and taking breaks, unfollowing certain people or news outlets if you just need that time away, I think those are ways that have helped me a lot.
For sure. Yeah, I think finding what feels like good to you about, or what feels sustainable, like, I don't know, what feels good to me and what feels sustainable, like, don't always align. Like, I used to be posting on my Instagram stories all the time about like my thoughts and feelings, and I feel like I stopped in like the recent year because I had a lot of personal things happening. And then when I stopped, I like noticed that things felt like clearer for me and less like fighting with people on the internet. And I was like, wait, this is really nice. And then I'm like managing my own privilege in that like I have the privilege to stop posting about something and still be okay. And So it's a there's a cycle there. I think definitely coping is that our group chats are popping off these days. But I think there's again like strength in that too, like of times when I'm like, I can't listen to that, like this announcement or like this thing, and somebody give a recap, and then like somebody does, and like that's really helpful. So I guess just really leaning on community support system. But it is tough out here.
So tough. So
And it's
tough.
all invisible. Like it's all, you have no idea what type of session you've just come from when you're going into another one or a meeting with a colleague. I think like ideally it would be great if we could like, especially in meetings with colleagues, not therapy sessions, but like just kind of recenter and refocus before diving into something. But this goes back to like our caseloads and our workload. That's often not the case. And that mental switch of like having to turn, like coming from something that's really hard or challenging or a place where we wanted to be supportive of a client, but potentially like maybe things that they were sharing could have been harmful to us, like going from that to then the next thing, there's that's like not natural either, right? Like it's just not, we're not made for that. And the amount of compartmentalizing we have to do that, it's a lot. It also leads me to thinking about something that like really threw me off the first couple years of being a therapist, which was that like in these big community settings, sometimes there's not enough like protection of therapists or whether that be like emotionally, mentally, physically, like, and I just, it's like, I remember like I would get screamed at a lot, and I was like genuinely wondering like where is the line, right? Like where is the line between accepting that and like managing that? And so so it just makes me think about like again in these situations, like where is the line when you're working with someone who's racist, or where is the line when you're working with somebody? So like it's just very tricky, and I don't understand why we don't have like a set of guidelines around that. Like obviously there's not some like checklist we could follow because situations are so much more nuanced than that. And I'm like, why didn't we ever talk about any of this stuff?
I know. Yeah.
Could
How
a
many do we talk about?
A
I
lot
remember
that we don't talk about.
one of my early jobs, there was a lady who was racist, like verbally, like not verbally, just outwardly racist, and would say the craziest stuff to her clinicians, and she bounced around to a few, but I was like, at what point do we say this just isn't gonna work? And like, I know we're supposed to never, but I guess that's why therapy being political is like such a debated topic, because it's like we should be working with anyone, regardless of their background and their beliefs and all that, which is true. But I think to an extent, because the fact that this lady could just say these things, not be held accountable, or she was held accountable, she would freak out and then report to management, all these things. Like, where's the line? Kind of like Nellie was talking about, like, where's the protection? Like, why would I put myself in that position to work with someone who doesn't value or see me? Or if they do see me and clearly don't like me because of the color of my skin, why would I still have to work with someone like that? So I think that's where like a lot of things just don't make sense from what other types of professionals say. But I feel like throughout this last year or two, I feel like the social work board and the national organizations, like they've released statements and they explain their stance. And like,
We're here to help. We're here to work with people. At the core of social work is fighting and dismantling systems that have kept people stuck and oppressed them. Mm-hmm. And I love that that's just like that's the fact. And so whenever I'm like torn or I'm exhausted or burnt out dealing with the world or dealing with like certain people, I remember that. So at the end of the day, that's where like I'm gonna always go back to is that professional like, principle of dismantling systems.
Yeah, and I've been loving like the releasing of those statements because like acknowledging also that social work has been like working within these like sometimes inherently racist systems and has perpetuated mm-hmm. that. We've seen that a lot with like CPS and DHS and things like that. And so we've come a long way. We have a long ways to go, but like it is really important to see them kind of recognize that. And I was happy that that was something that like was topics of conversation when we were in grad school of like
mm-hmm. yeah,
a social worker's role and how much social work the profession has traumatized families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just when you hear social worker,
yeah,
think of CPS, it's like, oh, they're gonna take the kids away, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, maybe that's what it was at a time when they were just not like on the same page as where they are now. Can't put into words, but that's not where the profession is anymore.
It's like, it's not where it should be, but like it's still, it should have never been there. And it's not where it shouldn't be there now, but it still is sometimes. And
sometimes
like,
there, yeah,
much less than before, but it still is sometimes. And like that fear of even just the sometimes is terrifying to families because it's a chance. Even it doesn't matter like where that chance is at, it's still a chance, and that's so scary. So it's a lot of, I think there's a lot of that, like dance that you do too with clients where you're like, they're trying to figure out who you, like how you are, and especially newer clients, like you're trying to figure out where they're at, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of like invisible stuff and dynamics and labor, and it's a lot happening there.
Yeah.
But that's why like I feel like it should, I always like ask during intake, is there any like cultural, like I think a lot of people ask about like religious or spiritual beliefs, but and like cultural beliefs, and then I specifically I'm like, and anything else that like you want your therapist to know about you that's important for you. And I ask that for those moments so that like, and an opportunity for them to ask me questions. And I think that goes back to self-disclosure that we've talked about before of like, we are taught self-disclosure bad, like but it's much more nuanced than that. And sometimes like you need your therapist to be like, guys, I'm going here. But maybe you need your therapist to be like, no, I didn't vote for Donald Trump, right? Like that is not a choice I made. Mm-hmm. So
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like we got enough warning or guidance? Like, did that surprise?
My answer
actually, yes, so maybe.
We said, okay. I said, no, yes, maybe. So, all well, three.
I have been recently telling clients, like, we really couldn't have foreseen all the things that are happening. Like, there's actually a lot. Like COVID was one thing, and we're still, and we will for a long time, I think, face the aftermath of COVID, just let alone the rates of anxiety and that kind of stuff. But everything going on politically, I can't even wrap my head around it. Because I think, I just, no one can prepare for all of these things, you know, like working with, you know, people whose research got cut or government workers who, you know, were laid off and like all these things, this like fear, I think is the biggest thing. And it doesn't really matter like who you voted for, what, you know, group, you know, race you are. I think it's certain also occupations of people, like it kind of impacts everyone at this point. So I think
No, I was not prepared to deal with it. So it's hard because I think it's, I think clients do get frustrated around like trying to do what they can on their own to heal and process, but there you can only process so much. And like Morgan said earlier, we're getting so much information on a daily basis. So it is hard to really process and I think express, but maybe the way we were taught that clients should.
But I will say, in our program, I feel like it's universal now in different programs like counseling too. We had classes specifically tailored towards us having the tough conversations about race, privilege, oppression. There's another word in the acronym I can't remember right now. But like we had, like those were mandatory. Like you had to take them and you had to understand how those things shape our world and how they've shaped history and the systems at play. So I feel like when it comes to certain conversations about those things, I feel like school did prepare us for that. And also just all of us being women of color, like those are conversations we've had. At least I can say since we were young. So it's not new when it was really new for a lot of the people at school with us. Like this, that was the first time they'd ever had to talk about any of that, which was telling. And one day we will talk about that. Our collective healing.
I'm so we're slowly unraveling.
We are.
We are. It's hard to talk about. There was a lot in this quick place.
It's a lot. And I think we're starting by like having this conversation today about like just current world stuff and where we're at with that. But yeah, I think did you feel like, or I won't put you on the spot. I enjoyed those conversations and I also felt like oftentimes, like you said, Morgan, like that was the first time a lot of people were having those conversations and it wasn't for a lot of other people. And so it led to like us paying, okay, me. I see.
Who's that?
I feel like I was paying money to be in a class that educated other people on like potentially some of my lived experiences. And I was kind of like, I took out loans for this. Like,
We paid for this. Well,
I
there was
paid
one
this
time,
back.
and I'll talk about this more. So I feel like I process it. But there was one time where my teacher
Oh my
literally
gosh.
Oh yeah.
couldn't talk. Like the class was so heated about a privilege thing, and I literally took over the class and started teaching and like consoling both sides because our teacher just didn't know what to do. So in that regard, yeah, it was annoying. It felt like stuff we already knew. It felt like we were doing a lot of the educating and the tailoring and consoling, and that's not our job. It never is. But I think from those experiences, realizing just how different people grow
Sorry.
up.
We have to pause. We have to pause because Maya
Maya's
and
cracking up
I,
in the corner.
we, Maya copes by laughing.
Because
And we, that's like these stories, we should do them. I just don't even know how to begin to do them because we had to go through some, like, I just,
much.
my classes, I, oh my gosh, I cannot.
Well, you can just, we can be vague about like the people.
Oh, anyway,
So,
sorry.
like people.
People have no idea what.
People say like that I don't even, okay, I'm saying it. People like saying that they like understood racism because they had a family member who was part of the KKK. So like they got it. They got
Yeah,
it.
know what it meant.
I knew.
Yeah, they knew what it meant, even though they hadn't had a personal experience with it because they'd seen other people do
Was gonna bring up this particular story, and I
Please get
didn't
this out.
because I think people, this could be like another, we could do like a grad school myth, social work school. I think people think social work school is like, oh, everyone has the same views. You guys are all like in harmony, kumbaya, whatever. No.
We're gonna put that no.
We were not. There were
No.
people of varying degrees, fights, like
Fights. We would
heated
fight.
arguments,
Yep.
tears. Yeah, tears. And a lot of just processing individually.
Racism.
And yeah, a lot of
Like,
discrimination,
it was
racism.
crazy from professors and students.
Truly. And I think my, like, that is a piece right there that so many people think, like, oh, okay, if you're going into social work, you're going in with like a certain level of agreement on certain topics. And
Yeah.
that is not the case at all. That threw me so much. I was like sitting in our classes being like, wait, so wait, why are you here? Like, you don't, like, this is a choice. Like, take a different profession. Not like, don't do social work then. If this isn't what
Yeah.
you, if this is how you feel, why would you do social work? But a lot of people, social work is also like a way to practice therapy within a few years. And I realized through our graduate school program that that's often the focus for people.
Yeah, they just want the degree to practice. Could care less about the actual work and the mission.
But one good part of it all was that collective trauma bonds, and that's how you guys got
Yeah.
Fabulous.
So we all met.
Tease up for the
That
trauma bonding
and
we did together.
therapists, we're heroes right now, holding space for clients and ourselves while watching the world almost feels like burn. But I will say, there's things we'll continue to talk about, ways you can take care of yourself, we can keep showing up, which is all that really is meant, that really matters at the end of the day. It's how
Yeah.
we take care of ourselves for being human.
So if
So,
you're a therapist, know that we see and hear you.
yes, we do.
And if you are not a therapist listening, reminder that we're just humans doing our best.
Yeah, we're trying out here. And so, my this or that for you all is because my glasses keep falling down, if you all couldn't tell. They're like 3 years old. I know. So my this or that is, would you rat well, I guess this or that. Glasses or contacts?
Morgan, this is a loaded question.
Oh. Why?
Contacts.
Because each has their time and place. As someone with horrible astigmatism, I need both. Both give me headaches and both don't do the job.
Headache.
So, yes, because everything, well, at night, if it's nighttime, because astigmatism, but both are needed. But if we're talking about like on the daily, contacts. Once they're in, they're in. Don't have to worry about them sliding down my face or like being too tight on my head.
Being dirty, yeah.
Yeah. Maya?
Contacts.
Like Maya answered first. You said contacts with the quickness.
Oh,
I
I
don't
didn't
think
even
I've
hear.
ever seen. Wait, has Maya wore glasses on this podcast?
No.
I guess not.
I haven't worn my contacts yet because I'm lazy.
Maybe we'll
Okay.
switch next time. Part two, though,
is would you rather have to wear your contacts every day for a month without taking them out? They're
Yes.
just in there.
Yeah.
Or would you rather have glasses that were just blurry, like dirty, lenses that were just dirty all the time for a month?
Contacts without taking them out. They're only going to bother you like a little bit here and there. Blurry glasses, you can't see.
Not blurry, just dirty lenses.
Can
But
you wipe them?
contact, yeah, but they'll just always be dirty.
Girl.
Are these lived experience questions or is this or that?
I thought Maya would say glasses because when you sleep
Why?
in contacts, you don't like that. You're not supposed to sleep in them, by the
Not
way,
supposed
to
to sleep in
people out
contacts.
there.
I would still pick contacts.
Maya pushes. Shout
Maya,
out to Maya's
yeah.
eye doctor.
I know. I hope Maya's eye doctor is listening.
Yes, Maya's been through a lot with eye injuries. One time resulting in a trip to
Urgent
urgent
care.
care, which I kind of messed up on because she could have barely see out of one eye, and I was like, "You have to go to urgent care. This is not good. Let's go." But I was scared of driving at that point, so I still made her drive.
Yeah.
Why do I kind of remember that happening?
Yep.
Marked safe from that event.
That's so funny. Well, okay. I'll ask the viewers and the listeners. Glasses or contacts? Four eyes, either way.
Okay. Solid. Well, listeners, if you listened and you are feeling the weight of the world around us, know that we are here. We see you. We feel some of it too. And damn.
Save
I
up.
bet you thought I was going to say, and take care of yourself.
No, I was
But,
like,
like, just damn.
yeah,
But
fun it
we're
together.
here.
We're here, and we're thoughtfully us.
Tease up.
See you next time.
Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's conversation. We hope you felt seen, supported, and maybe even laughed a little along the way. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a new one. And we'd love it if you left us a rating or review. It really helps more people find us. You can also connect with us on Instagram at thoughtfully_us and let us know what you want to hear about next. And remember, while we're therapists, this podcast is not a substitute for therapy. If you're struggling, please reach out for support from a mental health professional in your area. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.